Following the killing of George Floyd, there's been growing momentum around the country for laws that restrict and, in some cases, penalize the use of restraints by police officers that block a person from breathing. In New York, the state legislature and Governor Andrew Cuomo approved a measure in June creating the crime of aggravated strangulation, naming the law after Eric Garner, who was killed while being taken into police custody 6 years ago. This action was followed by the adoption of a broader, controversial law in New York City, which prohibits restraints that infringe on a person's ability to breathe. Following the order, police departments in the surrounding suburbs directed their officers to avoid New York City so they wouldn't risk violating the new measure. To discuss the initiative, we're joined by Ron Perrone, acting president of the New York State Police Investigators Association, which has about 120 members stationed in New York City and would be impacted by the new ban. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you for having me.
So your union has asked for clarity on the new prohibitions in New York City. What sort of clarification are you hoping to get?
I'm trying to get clarification as far as to how to retrain ourselves to effect an arrest that we have initially been trained on at the New York State Police Academy.
So the language that was passed by the New York City Council really focuses on any activity that might compress the diaphragm when trying to take someone into custody or restrain them. Can you explain the types of maneuvers that might fall under this that were covered by some of the police training in the past? Or today, really, too?
Sure. So the carotid artery restraint is one. The lateral head displacement, the knee on the chest or back, prone handcuffing while straddling the subject, any technique or restraint involving the neck, and any technique that involves body weight, pressure delivered by sitting or standing, kneeling on a subject's chest or back.
And from your perspective, what's been the benefit of those practices that are now going to be banned in New York City?
They are a means of law enforcement officers to use less lethal ways of effecting an arrest.
Is there some sort of compromise version of this bill that you think is practical, such as only using these now prohibited steps if an officer, say, fears reasonably for their safety?
Well, the problem that we have is that we're trained on how to effect an arrest using these techniques. Elsewhere in the state of New York, we're able to do this. It's more or less a muscle memory type technique. We have specialized units done in New York City, 120 approximately members that have several years on the job as a state police officer. And for them to stop doing what they were trained to do can not only put that member in harm's way, but also the subject that we're trying to place under arrest.
Societal norms are, you know, constantly changing, and people have to often redo the way they, you know, have been doing things all their lives. So why should police officers be immune to this? Why shouldn't these officers who are maybe in these units you're talking about, the 120 members in New York City, be, you know, trained to come up with alternatives?
I'm all for change. Mm-hmm. I have no issue with that. But when you enact a code like this without any training for its members, what are our members to do when they attempt to effect an arrest and they realize those methods that they've been taught on how to do so, if they use them, they can effectively be arrested themselves?
So is the issue then about not having some sort of bridge to implementing this, say having a time period where officers can be retrained on alternatives, and the fact that it's taking effect basically immediately is the problem?
I would have liked retraining prior to this becoming effective.
And would you want your members then who are in New York City to be, you know, removed from there so that they don't risk violating this law, which carries, you know, misdemeanor penalties?
Our members have been in New York City for over 30 years. They're all in specialized units that do great work to protect the citizens of not only New York City, but New York State and beyond. I'm not asking for the removal of our members. I'm just asking for some guidance on how to now effect an arrest based on this new New York City code.
So what do you think of, I guess, the quote-unquote guidance that came down from state police, which I guess reminded officers they can always disengage in certain situations when necessary or use other justifiable means of securing a suspect? Did that memo go far enough, or is that not really enough guidance?
In my opinion, it's not enough. You know, it's putting us in a situation that that particular member that is arresting a subject could possibly get hurt because he's not able to utilize the less lethal forms of effecting an arrest and may have to utilize a collapsible ASP, a taser, or God forbid, if it comes down to he's fearing for his life, he may have to use his weapon. We don't want to have to do this, and this is why we were trained the way we were trained to effect arrests using a less lethal method.
A number of New York City district attorneys have indicated that they really have no plans to prosecute any officers under this new law. And the Bronx DA, in making that announcement, argued that the law is well-intended. What do you think of that sentiment? Do you think it's well-intended?
I don't really have an opinion on that. And yes, it may not be something that they intend to prosecute, but I wouldn't want to be that member that is in that situation that ends up potentially getting arrested.
You know, this law is something that's been born out of a larger conversation that's been spurred by the Black Lives Matter movement, which really has gone through a resurgence in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. You know, as a member with decades of law enforcement experience, what do you think of the expression of Black Lives Matter?
They have the freedom to protest. We live in a country that gives us that freedom. I have no issues with civil protesting.
What about some of the larger things that they're trying to advance with that? You know, talking about structural racism within institutions. I mean, do you think there's a larger issue there, or do you not really recognize or acknowledge a lot of the concerns they're bringing up?
I recognize them, but I can't speak to that fact. You know, I would not know even how to answer that.
That's fine. We also had Senator Patrick Gallivan on the show earlier this week, and he was talking about a package of bills that the Senate Republicans had tried to advance that were proposing tougher penalties for crimes against police officers, which he said would, you know, sort of probably quell some of the anti-police sentiments around the state and maybe make police officers safer on the job. Do you think those kind of measures, things that maybe like would treat crimes against police as, let's say, a hate crime, would keep police officers safer while doing their jobs?
Senator Galvin's a great man. He's always been a proponent of all law enforcement, and we thank him for that. I do think something needs to change. I'm not a politician. That's above my pay grade. You know, what I would like to see is I would like to see there to be a change out there. In the news, you see police officers getting assaulted, it seems like, on the hour, every hour. And we're there doing our job. What happened out in Minneapolis was terrible. But that's not how law enforcement as a whole acts or would want to act. We don't condone those types of actions. But it seems that globally, the police is being held responsible for one man's actions.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Ron Perrone, acting president of the New York State Police Investigators Association. Ron, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.